Transformed. So what we've been talking about for the past 3 weeks. We started talking about this, looking into going into the new year, and about being transformed. And as we enter into a new year, a lot of us are thinking about changes that we would like to see in our life. And this is a great time to look into our spiritual mirror and be bluntly honest with ourselves and see what really needs to be changed. See, as Christians, we should be constantly transforming. We should be in a perpetual metamorphosis in our lives, changing into the person that God wants us to be. That we would be transformed into a person that not only desires to please God, but as we are transformed, we become a person that can please God. As we are transformed into God's likeness, as we start to resemble God, as we start to take on His holiness and His righteousness. And in this, we are able to please God with our lives. We talked at the beginning of the series about getting real in our relationship with God. To move past the surface level facade of just a shallow relationship with God. And really dig down deep into an authentic relationship with God, where God has a full access pass to our minds so that He can renew our mind and therefore transforming us through the renewing of our mind. And as this renewing of our minds takes place, we start to think about different things. Our thinking shifts. It shifts away from the earthly things and the things that we count as valuable in this world. And it will shift towards thinking about things in heaven and the future that we have. Because as Christians, we are citizens of heaven, right? We're not citizens of earth. And so our earthly resume of life that we looked at last week and our earthly scoreboard of life, that this doesn't define our worth or our value. But rather, as we find ourselves in Christ, that is where we will have our self-worth and our value defined. And that's where we will find true value, in Christ. And in this kind of thinking, we're thinking about this life as a race, and that this race, at the finish line of this race, is us crossing over into heaven, where we are already citizens. And this mindset should change our existence right here and now, here on earth. Transform my mind. Transform my existence. And as we mature and we grow in our relationship with God, our reflection will be transformed as well. And that's what we're going to spend our time this morning talking about. Transform my reflection. Have you ever entrusted like a precious document, a letter, to someone else to deliver? Like in elementary school when you had that little note that was going to little Susie, right? And you had to give it to your friend. And you're like, oh, I hope they give it to him. I hope it makes it to her. You know, it was that whole little thing, do you like me? Check yes or no. Or maybe some of you run your own companies, or maybe you're kind of a head in a department, and sometimes you have to entrust certain documents into other people's hands, and after it leaves your office, you can't help but think in the back of your head, man, I hope they get it there. I hope that gets there. Well, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you open your books or your Bibles to your New Testament, you cross Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John into Romans, and then 1 Corinthians. And lo and behold, 2 Corinthians comes right after 1 Corinthians. We're going to be spending our time here in chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at transforming our reflection. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's just start by reading verse 3. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Paul tells the Corinthians that they are a letter from Christ. And the message that Christ has written has been written on their hearts by God's own Holy Spirit. And this truth, this truth of being a letter from Christ, it extends to us as well. This just wasn't the Corinthians. We are letters from Christ, each one of us. I am a letter from Christ. We can personalize that. And God chose to share the content of this letter by writing on my heart with His Holy Spirit. You go back to Exodus, and you have the law that was presented, the Ten Commandments. You know, some of you might not have read it, but most of us have seen the movie, right? Right? And these Ten Commandments, they were presented on what? Stone. Carved in stone. This letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Today, as we look down in our Bibles, this was probably laser inked into the paper. At that time, it was probably used by pen and ink when Paul sent the letter to the Corinthians. But this message that God sends to mankind, this letter, is written on our hearts by His finger, by the Holy Spirit. We are walking letters from God, walking memos from the Creator to His creation. And He has placed His message inside of us. He's entrusted His message on our hearts. So what is this message? What is this message that we carry around? Skip on down to verse 6. It says, He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter of the letter, which He's talking about the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? See, we carry the new covenant. You know, you look at the old covenant, the old law, this law that He's speaking of that was carved in stone. This old covenant laid it out. It was black and white. Here's righteousness. Here's sinfulness. And none of us could uphold the law because we're all flawed. We have all sinned and we will all continue to sin. And the penalty for sin is death. And so the law simply tells us what's killing us. That's really all the law did. The law exposed our sin for what it was. The law didn't give any solution. It only diagnosed the problem. But we carry a different message, don't we? The old covenant was a message of death. But we bring a message of life. And not a message that describes only the problem. This letter that we are shares both the problem and the solution. And even though the old law and the old covenant, even though that doesn't seem to do a whole lot for us, okay, it just pointed out our sin. Ooh, thanks. it's still labeled as glorious because it came from God. But in light of this new covenant, which also comes from God, this new covenant is much more glorious than the first covenant. It's much more glorious than that covenant that was carved in stone. This new covenant that is written on our hearts. This message that I carry is the new covenant. And it is much more glorious than the old covenant. See, the old covenant brought condemnation. That's a big church word that means that you have been weighed and measured for eternity, and you have been found wanting. You didn't make the cut. You don't have what it takes to be able to earn eternity. I don't know if many of you guys have seen the Coke machine, the pop machine down here at the corner of our building. And the price just changed on that pop machine not too long ago. It used to be a dollar, and now it's $1.25. And it took some getting used to. I'd walk all the way down there, and I'd have my four quarters in my hand, and I'd stop, and I'd go, oh. And I have to go and get another quarter. And that feeling, and that's a very gentle illustration of what we deal with our ability to earn eternal life, to make it. We have come up with a nickel. And we're talking about a prize that's worth just an infinity amount. This new covenant that we carry, it doesn't bring condemnation. It brings righteousness. This message says that instead of missing out on eternal life because you just can't make it, you can't make the cut, you don't have enough to pay for it because you're in a constant state of sinfulness, you can be forgiven. You can be washed clean, and God's Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And then God living in you becomes your righteousness. You have righteousness that belongs to God living in you. God's holiness inside of us. And unlike the old covenant, which was put to an end, the new covenant is permanent. There's no need for another covenant. This one takes care of everything it needs to take care of. This one offers us eternity and the promise that's given in the new covenant. It's an eternal promise. And this message that we carry, this new covenant, it shares hope. Continue reading with me in verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face and keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. See, this new covenant, it shares hope. With the old covenant, there wasn't hope. It was hopeless. In fact, it kind of rubbed it in your face how bad you were. But this new covenant brings hope. And this hope causes boldness. Paul states in Romans 8, if God is for us, then who can be against us? If that isn't a verse to claim boldness from. You know, we have a message. A message that is written on our hearts by God Himself. What's going to stand in your way? There's nothing that can stand in your way. And why in the world would you want to not share such a message of hope? This letter is good news. Amen. Hey, it's great news. Amen. Hey, this news is the best news that your ears will ever hear or your mouth will ever speak. So why are we so timid with it? This new covenant, this message, it's about being made right with God through Jesus Christ. It gives freedom to those who are bound by their bad decisions, bound by the mistakes in life, bound by regret, bound by guilt, bound by disobedience. It gives freedom from sin, and therefore it gives us freedom from death. What an incredible message that we carry around with us, written on our hearts by God Himself. A glorious message. So glorious that the former covenant, which we've understood, that was a glorious thing. That was from God. Paul says, in comparison, the glory of this new covenant makes that glory look as if it wasn't glory. It pales in comparison to the glory of this letter that we carry from God, this surpassing glory. And so with all of this being said, Paul brings up a little illustration of a veil. And he uses this veil in two ways, using two different subjects. He shares about Moses, and about how when Moses would go and spend time with God, and you need to check this out, it's great, in Exodus 34. When Moses would go and spend time with God, in God's radiant glory, Moses would come back to the people, and his face was glowing. Isn't that amazing? And he would have to put a veil on it. And so Paul uses this as an illustration for us. He says, don't do as Moses did. Don't put a veil on your face when it has been exposed to God's glory. Don't do that. We've been given a letter, a message of hope. And that should cause us to be bold. He uses the veil in another way. He uses the veil in reference to Israel's heart. He even says to this day, their heart is veiled when they read God's word because they just don't see it. And in this light, we see that this veil is used to hide from God. There's a number of different things that we can call that veil. Our pride, our laziness, our insecurity. Why in the world would we be afraid to unveil ourselves before God? He sees everything anyway, doesn't He? Who are we fooling? Certainly not Him. We try to deceive ourselves when we put this veil on. He sees all the things in our lives, those things in our dark closets. Those things that we would never, ever share with anyone. Those things in our lives that we will take to our grave. He sees those and He knows those things. And yet, He still loves us. So why in the world would we want to hide from God's glory? Why would we want to hide from God's radiant glory? We should be basking in it, shouldn't we? It's offered to us. God says, I'm going to show you my glory. Through Jesus Christ, I am to bask in God's glory. And what should a veilless life before God yield? What does this do for that message on our heart? Read verse 18 with me. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As many of you know, I grew up in North Carolina. And we would take a trip at least once a year, sometimes twice a year, down to the beach. I love the beach. I love the ocean. I love the taste of salt water when you come up from getting nailed by a wave. I love sand, I love the sun, I love that breeze that's just constantly coming up off the ocean. And you know, we think about these things in January, oh, I can't wait to my vacation. You know, people go and they vacation, they go to the beach. When they come back from the beach, is it not obvious that they've been to the beach? I mean, most of the time you don't even have to ask where they went. You can see. They come back and they've got the sunglass, you know, white spots. You can tell that they've been to the beach because they've been exposed to the sun. They've got a tan. Now we each have different types of skin. You know, some skin tans really easily. Some skin is very fair. And for these type of people, they have to go out and they have to buy like this SPF 500. Right? It should say no suntan lotion. And sometimes people with very fair skin, they'll have to cover up and they'll hide their skin from the sun. Because if they don't, it will burn. I tell you what, no matter what your skin type is, if you tan easily or you have very fair skin, I guarantee you, if you are exposed to the sun, if you leave yourself out in the sun, basking in the sun with nothing shielding your skin will change. Sometimes it's a nice tan. Sometimes it's a burn. But if you are exposed, you will be affected by those UV rays from that burning star some 90 million miles away. And in the same way, of course without the burning thing, when we are exposed to God, when we spend time in His presence, when we spend time basking in His glory, we will be changed. We will be transformed, and it will be noticeable. It will be measurable. It will be evident that we have been spending time basking in the radiant glory of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Our reflection will be transformed. In my basking, I will be transformed. We're told in this passage, always increasing in His likeness to reflect the radiance of His glory. Always increasing, ever increasing glory is what we will be reflecting as we are constantly basking in God's radiant glory. This is what will happen. Is it happening to you? You know, it's time to be brutally honest. It's time to squirm a little. When is the last time you have been so exposed to God, unveiled, that God has changed you? That your reflection has changed? You know, we have a world of people that I honestly believe would love to get to know Jesus Christ. In fact, studies show that people would like to get to know Jesus Christ. But you know what stands in their way? Christians. They don't want to go through Christians to get to Jesus. How many people have you ever heard? And there may be a few that have said, well, I don't want to go to church because I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Not many. What's their reason? I don't want to be there with all them hypocrites. I don't want to be with all them Christians that talk out of both sides of their mouth. This is a serious problem because this shows what we have been reflecting. And I believe that we have rightfully earned this point of view. People know more about what we're against than what we're for. You ever thought about that? Oh, people know we're against homosexuality. People know we're against abortion. People know that we're against evolution. But do they know what we're for? How many of these people, the first thought of Christianity comes to their mind, they think about Christians, do they think that's a bunch of people, they're letters, they're walking letters from God, bringing this wonderful new promise of hope and righteousness, this permanent promise. I'm afraid we don't see that. This letter written on our hearts by God's very own Spirit. And we talked earlier, this message brings righteousness. You know, the culture that Paul was writing to in Corinthians, Corinthian church was just a mess, so at least the area they lived in. I mean, this area they lived in, this culture in Corinth was very tolerant of all sorts of views and beliefs and religions. They were morally flippant. Their values were blurred. Their principles shifted. Sound familiar? We don't have to go far to apply this message written to that culture. How are you going to be a letter from Christ if you do not stand out against the helter-skelter society that we live in? How do we expect to take this message to others if we ourselves are not changed by it? If we ourselves are not exemplifying the righteousness of God? Quit your excuses. Get right with God today and stay that way. Or might I quote Jesus so you're not hearing it from me? Go and sin no more. Let Jesus remove the veil that has so dulled your mind and receive His righteousness. Our life in eternity is a promise. This new covenant is permanent. It isn't changing. We are citizens of heaven. And this promise is for all people who turn to Christ. This message shares hope. How do people feel when they're around you? Have you shared hope lately? Do people gather around you because you just emit hope? Because you're so uplifting. Every time I'm around you, I just feel so lifted up. I feel such a sense of hope. Or do people avoid you because of your negativism? You're complaining or whining about some earthly deal that didn't pan out, or some hope that you had in something material here on earth that didn't work for you. Folks, we need to examine our lives. See where we are. Many of you walk out of here every Sunday unchanged. I don't know how you do it. We come before God in His glory and we worship Him and we talk with Him and we pray with Him, we commune with Him. We listen to His Word and the glory that is exposed. Not even through the preaching, just through reading God's Word. And somehow people manage to walk out of here not being changed, not being transformed. You wear your SPF 500 attitude and you continue on through your life one day at a time. But the problem is each day is the same day. Your reflection is not changing. But if you would only unveil your face and just lie unveiled before God and bask in His glory, you would be changed. You would be transformed. And you wouldn't just reflect God's glory today, but as you continue to do this, it would be ever-increasing glory. And every time you bask more and more in God's glory, the more that you are going to reflect His glory. And if you're participating in this, how? How can you even attempt to hide such a metamorphosis? I don't care how thick of a veil you try to put on. The radiance that you gain from God will have to peek through. And this kind of lifestyle, it calls for boldness. If you really believe that people have eternal souls, if you really believe that, and you really believe that their souls will spend eternity in one of two places, either heaven or hell, I mean, if you really believe that, and you believe in this hope that God's message brings us, how can you be timid with such a message? How can you be afraid of sharing it? I mean, what would stand in your way? What could shut you up? Nothing. God's with us. Nothing can be against us. You know, if we are constantly spending time with God, constantly in His presence, unveiled and openly inviting Him to change us, to mold us, to renew us, then we would be a transformed person. It would be evident that we had been spending time with God. It would be evident that we had been affected by God's love, affected by God's word, affected by God's grace, and we would be glowing with His glory. And then, my friends, then the world will know and read the letter that God has written on your heart. God's glory would be revealed through us. And our life would reflect His glory, not our own glory. His glory. And people would see Jesus Christ in us, and Jesus Christ reflects God. So I ask you this morning, be honest with yourself. It's going to hurt. It's going to cause you to squirm. But when you look in the mirror, who do you see? Do you see someone who just continues to resemble Jesus Christ more and more every day? Or do you see the same old person that you saw the day before? If so, now's the time to change. Now's the time to commit to a different lifestyle, a lifestyle where you're just going to rip off the veil. Say, God, I'm just going to be completely exposed to You, and as I turn to reflect Your glory, I'm going to be completely exposed to those who are looking at me. And that's uncomfortable. You're very vulnerable. But then again, it's not about our glory, is it? It's about His glory. If you would, please pray with me. Father, we bow before You and just, God, we humbly come into Your glory. So many times a week, and somehow we manage to walk away unchanged. Father, forgive us for veiling ourselves to You. Father, forgive us that You have entrusted us with a message, with a letter. Lord, we write in the margins. We decide who and who we're not going to share it with. Father, sometimes we just wad it up and stick it in our coat pocket, our purse. Father, help us to take seriously our relationship with You. My goodness, You've given us so much. You've opened Yourself up to us. The very request that Moses asked, show me Your glory. You waited years, years later, and You presented Jesus Christ, and we all get a chance to see Your glory. And not only to see it, but to reflect it. Light us up, Lord. Help us to be radiant reflections of Your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, we've been talking about being transformed. And I'm kind of sad that it's over because I enjoyed watching a little Transformers clip every Sunday. I'm a little bit of a geek. You know, back in that old cartoon, the Transformers, you had the leader of the Autobots. The Autobots were the good guys. I shared that with you a few weeks ago. I don't expect you to remember that. And his name was Optimus Prime. And every time the Autobots were to charge out, were to leave, were to take off and go somewhere, he'd have this little catchphrase that he would say. And you'd hear it about every cartoon. And Optimus Prime would say, "Autobots, transform and roll out." I look at us here, church, and I can hear Jesus saying those same things. We, as a church, as a body of believers, need to transform and roll out and go out into the mission field of our world. This morning, I hope and pray that you would empty yourself, that you would go unveiled before God and just allow Him to reflect His glory off of you.